Good morning. If we could turn to the book of Philippians. So I'll be preaching from Philippians chapter 1. Now, text this morning comes from the 6th verse in Philippians 1. So we'll read our text. This is what God's word says. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, we ask that you would come here. We ask that you would speak through your word. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness throughout the year. We thank you that it is you who speaks and it is done. It is you who speaks and it is done and it is good because you say it's good. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness again towards us. We ask that you would hide this preacher behind the cross and that you would open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of men and women here in this room today. We ask, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our text, again, I'll read it. Verse 6 of chapter 1 in the book of Philippians. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. You see, my dear friends, as we stand here at the end of 2017, there are all kinds of uncertainties in the people of God. But there is one thing that we can be certain about, and that is this: that he who began a good work within you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I want to encourage you with just this one mighty and great text. As we look back at this year, we can look forward to the next with confidence. Not confidence within ourselves, but confidence in the one who made us. Confidence in who God is and what he has done. Confidence in what he does and what he is about to do. He who began a good work in you. This is our text. He who began a good work in you. Here Paul, he rejoices in this prison as he writes to the Philippians. He rejoices in the work of grace that God had begun in the Philippians. God caused people to be born again as he walked into that city when he preached the gospel. We remember that famous conversion in Acts 16. The conversion of Lydia, with Paul speaking to her. And it says there in Acts 16, the text there, that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And so in other words, she was born again. This is the doctrine of regeneration. You see, if you are a child of God this morning, it is because God opened your heart to pay attention to his word. Notice again in our text, he who began. It is he who was before the beginning who began the good work in you. The one who spoke the world into existence. read in the account in Genesis when he created the world. He speaks the word into existence. In the beginning, God created. God spoke and it was so. And it was God who said it was good. Likewise, my dear friends, beloved, when God saved you, when God saves men and women, God speaks life where there is no life. You see, you had no power over your natural birth into this world. Just like you have no power over your spiritual birth into the kingdom of heaven. Regeneration is a supernatural work done by God alone. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That's the text in our calendars for next month. The reason why we're Christians today, my dear friends, is not because of anything good in us. There was nothing good in us to begin with. The only time something good begun in us was when God spoke life into our bones and there was a transformation. Has He done that for you? Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Paul rejoiced in the Philippians because God transformed them into a people who would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you see, we know that tonight being the last day of the year, there'll be many things going on tonight to bring in the new year. There'll be much drunkenness and sin. But my dear friends, the only thing that separates us from the heathens, from those who are bruising it up tonight, from those who will be finding pleasure in their corruptions, it has nothing to do with you being smarter than them. It has nothing to do with your Bible reading. It has nothing to do with your praying, nothing to do with your church attendance, nothing to do with your good works, but it has everything to do with the grace of God to you. That is why we should weep when it should cause us to weep when we hear people say to us that I used to be a Christian, or that they've always been Christians. It should cause us to weep. Why? Because they were never Christians to begin with. Christ was never present in their lives to begin with. They were never born again. They were never children of God. They're still children of the devil. And the only thing that they've always been is dead in their sins. You see, my dear friends, salvation, regeneration, the new birth, it is a work of God's grace. And the reason that there is so much hostility and anger when you point this out is because they say that the work that they had begun within themselves was not good. Because there is none good, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. All have turned aside and have become worthless. No, there is none that does good, not even one. You see, Christianity is something you enter into because God, by His grace, has entered into you. And so, our confidence is grounded in the one who made us. You are a Christian today because God made you a Christian. And don't ever be ashamed to give that apologetic. When people ask you, why are you a Christian? Because God makes Christians. He goes on in our text, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work within you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see what it says? God is not like us. He does not do things by halves. He never carries out experiments. God carries out His sovereign plan. My dear friends, God did not perform the act of regeneration on you and then just leave you to work out your own salvation. Let's just park here for a moment. Chapter 2 of this very letter says this on chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as I in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, either you've heard it in evangelical circles or churches or people, when you get a knock on your door and they pull out this verse, and then it is followed by the idea that it is by works that we somehow save ourselves. That you have to work at it. That you have to do good works and hope for the best. Look at our text. Look at what it says. Work out your own salvation. In other words, work out the salvation that you already have. The following text in verse 13 says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works is what the gospel produces. It is by God's grace. The God who by His grace began a good work in you and put life in your soul continues to give you the grace to work it out. It is God making sinners holy in heart and conduct. This process here of sanctification, and where in which the believer is presently being conformed to the image of Christ. And this conformity to the image of Christ begins as the children of God are transformed by the Word of God, both received into their minds and walked in obedience to it. And if you imagine, when we talk about sanctification, that if you imagine a man who is going up an escalator, and as he's going up an escalator, his goal is to get to the top. But what happens is that he starts to fall down slowly, and at times painfully. But the thing is that the escalator still takes him to the top. You see, it's the end of the year. We're just remembering these great truths. And even as I look back at this year and examine my own walk with the Lord, even as I reflect on this year, I look at how I managed my time with God. Are you advancing, my dear friends? I look at how my time with God this year, and whether or not the Lord was carrying me through. How was my Bible reading this year? How was my prayer life? How was my service to His church? How was my love towards my wife? Does she see Christ in me? How was my example towards my children? How was I as a son? How was I as a brother? What about my job? Was it God-honoring work? How was my response to sin this year? We find great assurance, my dear friends, and comfort. And so should you, if you are a child of God. When I remember the Lord's sustaining grace upon me, that His rod and His staff that comforted me. The psalmist says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. You do not forsake the work of your hands. He goes on in our text. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What does He mean by at the day of Jesus Christ? So we looked at what God does. We looked at the part where it says, He goes, He who began a good work in you, that is regeneration. will bring it to completion, that is sanctification, at the day of Jesus Christ. This is glorification. Paul rejoices in the fact that the work that had begun by God and sustained by God will be brought to completion by God at this day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man has his day, and Christ will have his. This day will either bring you comfort or it will terrify you so much that you will be with the great captains of the world crying out that the rocks would fall on you to hide you from the wrath of Christ. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is the day of divine judgment. When he will come back, and when Christ will come back, and by his command, he will call out for time to stop. And every eye will see his eyes of fire. The very sun, my dear friends, the very sun will burn out your eyes from a distance of 92 million miles. And do you expect to just casually stroll into the presence of the one who made it? And on that day, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, if you're a child of God, we have great and blessed assurance of this day. We have a confidence that the world doesn't have. We can be fully, firmly, absolutely convinced and confident in the God who began a good work in us. That day that will come, that day when you will go to be with him for all eternity, with no sin, with no illness, with no disease, with no sorrow, with no tears, forever and ever and ever, only perfect relationship and fellowship with the God who made you. Are you looking forward to that day? I encourage you, my dear friends, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, and again I will say rejoice. Paul rejoices throughout this whole letter while he's in prison. Why? What was his basis? God had begun a good work. From the patriarchs, the psalmists, the prophets, the kings who looked forward to Christ's first coming, from the call of Abraham to the incarnation, one work had carried out through. There was only one that was the covenant keeper. Until the fullness of time, Christ enters. He looks into creation and he declares, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. It is a day of comfort for the saints. It is a day of comfort for the elect. It is a day of comfort for the children of God. But he will judge the earth. If you are here this morning and you are not in Christ, if you are not born again, the very God you reject, the one who made you, is Jesus Christ. Everything good that you have comes from him. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is patient. He is forgiving. He is just. He is holy. God is love. But your biggest problem is that God is also good. And because he is good, God hates sin. He is angry with the wicked every day. And because his very goodness is infinite, His hatred of sin and even your own sin is also infinite. The Word of God says they all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and afterwards come the judgment. It wasn't always like this. God created humans in the beginning to be good and perfect. We were created to love God and love others, but we failed. We were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But Adam and Eve, our first parents, they rebelled and sinned against God. And because of this, sin, all of us are born as God-opposing sinners. We have broken God's law that He has written in our hearts. God sees your lies. God sees your lust. Every wicked deed thought in your mind. And it is this sin that has separated you from a holy God. And loved ones, I plead with you. Please, listen. If you die as a God opposer, all of God's anger will be eternally and justly directed against you in hell. And I do not want that for you. That is why we go to the markets. That's why we're still here. We're still here. When we got saved, we just wanted to be with the Lord. And now we're here. We're still here. We wonder, why, God, have you left us here? Please, my dear friends, if you do not know Christ, do not go to hell. Do not die in your sin. Do not burn in your sin. You might say, what can I do? Absolutely nothing. Because sin comes from the very core of your being. And we are unable to just stop rebelling against God. But you see, God, who is rich in mercy, He sent His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ. He was a sinless, perfect, and He was able to take your hell punishment in your place so that you would be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ that you can be saved from the wrath to come. Jesus died in our place. And 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And He now stands ready to give life to anyone who believes in Him. And when you hear us say to you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we mean by that? We mean to receive Him as your heart's supreme satisfaction and to trust in Him as the only righteousness and purity that you have before a holy God. If you truly believe in Christ and He causes you to be born again, you will turn with joy towards Christ and away from your sin. And you will want to please Him in everything you do. You will be like Lydia. You will have your heart open and you will be transformed. What Jesus Christ offers you, my dear friends, is to be secured in heaven by God Himself. So my dear friends, if you do not know Him, please turn to Christ while there's still time. Hymn writer Henry Twells writes this poem. It's regarding time. He says, When as a child I laughed and wept, the time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Then soon I shall find, in passing on, time gone. And then he says, the last line on this, O Christ, would thou have saved me then? Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are the one who speaks, that you are the one who was before the beginning, that you are good, merciful, and kind, and gracious, loving. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would grant us grace in the year to come, that you would fit us for service to you, for your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen.